Allow me first of all to introduce you to the great prophet of Advent, who is Isaiah. He'll be speaking to us in the first reading for the next 3 weeks. And he was the word of God to a people who weren't listening for God anymore. His was a message of expectation and hope that God would finally come and bring his peace and justice to the world. But what I'd like to do this morning is introduce you to a more modern prophet of Advent. His name is Father Alfred Delp. He wrote a book entitled The Prism Meditations of Alfred Delp. And it was actually a rare book for the longest time, out of print. Just recently reprinted once again. And I heard about Alfred Delp through my reading of Thomas Merton. And this is no run-of-the-mill spiritual book. And Alfred Delp is no run-of-the-mill spiritual writer. He grew up in pre-World War II Germany. He, as a young person, became a Catholic. He was an intellectual sociologist. And eventually, he became a Jesuit priest. And he was vehement and he was vocal in his opposition to the Nazis. So in 1943, when it looked like it was inevitable that the Nazis were going to be defeated, he and a group of his fellow intellectuals got together to study how they could set up a society in post-World War II Germany that would be a society of peace and justice. Well, the Gestapo found out about all that. They threw them in prison, and after a sham of a trial, on February 2nd, 3 months before VE Day, Father Delp and his companions were all executed. And the significance for us here today is that Father Delp wrote his prison meditations in Advent of 1944. Now, he wrote whenever his hands weren't shackled. His hands were usually shackled every single day. And I see Alfred Delp as a kind of a modern version of Isaiah. And at one point in his journal writing, he wrote, "Unless a man and a woman, I'll say, has been shocked to his depths at himself and the things he is capable of doing, as well as the failings of all humanity, he cannot understand the full impact of Advent." Unless you and I are shocked by what we are capable of doing. And powerful words. Words that would be relevant for Advent 2017. And Isaiah, in the first reading, speaks similarly when he says, "We are all sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All of our good deeds are like polluted rags. Our guilt carries us away. There is none who can call upon your name." Kind of the same thing that Father Delp was saying. Words hard for us to hear, but words we need to be able to hear. And like Jesus in the gospel, these two prophets are saying for you and me to wake up and be alert and be watchful about what's going on around us. And while these prophets were people who said the hard thing for us to hear, they were always, always people of hope. Alfred Delp's prison cell was 3 paces wide. He had a little tiny window. He was shackled in his hands most of the time. And I'm sure he had every single worry and concern you and I can begin to imagine. And yet, with all that occurring, he writes, "Sometimes his whole being is flooded with pulsating life. His heart can scarcely contain his delirious joy." And Isaiah writes similarly, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down here, with the mountains quaking before you, while you do awesome deeds, deeds that we can't even begin to imagine." Now, on the outside, both of these prophets, things look pretty bleak. But on the inside, abandoning themselves to God, trusting in God, they were filled with hope and expectation that God would come and do wonderful, wonderful things, things beyond our wildest imagination. So all that brings me to Advent and our message series, Emmanuel, finding God with us now. You saw the sign right outside there. And you and I come here, I hope, filled with hope and expectation that God will do awesome deeds in our midst, deeds beyond our wildest imagination, deeds that are experienced by those who watch, those who are alert, and those who are awake. And so maybe you're asking me, what are these awesome deeds that God is coming, has come here to do? And the Catechism mentions four deeds that Jesus does and did as he came here 2,000 years ago. Number one, to reconcile us with one another and with the Father. Number two, to remind us of God's furious love for us. Number three, to show us the path of life, the path to holiness. Number four, this is the most awesome of them all, that you and I would one day become partakers of the divine nature. And so the big question, I think, is why? Why would God do that kind of stuff? Why would God want to continually long to forgive us? Why does God always, always, when we turn away, always reminding us about how much he loves us? Why does he keep showing us paths to life and holiness? Why does God want us to be partakers of the divine? Why? With all those different things. You would think that God would have given up on us a long, long time ago. And like Father Delp and like Isaiah, the Catechism, all of a sudden, in this section we're reading, you're going to be reading yourselves, all of a sudden gets prophetic. It says, sick, our nature demands healing. Fallen, raised up. Closed in darkness, it was necessary to bring light. Captives, a savior. Slaves, a liberator. And again, the same message of hope once again. Did these things not move God to descend to human nature and to visit us? Wow. You would think God would have cut us loose a long, long time ago. But he doesn't cut us loose. As a matter of fact, he comes to do more awesome things all the time. And the one you and I are going to be thinking about, especially this week in your book, is going to be Jesus coming to reconcile us with God. Now, we've been talking about forgiveness. We did that in our awakening, how much God wants to forgive us. And remember, you don't earn forgiveness. You don't have to even ask for forgiveness. All you have to do is accept it. That is awesome. I don't know that that strikes you or whatever, but that absolutely strikes me. That is an awesome thing that God wants to do. But once again, why? Now, the book that we selected, or the reading we selected for the first week, is from Max Lucado. The book is entitled, God Comes Near. And the chapter you're going to read is entitled, The Absurdity in the Flesh. And he answers the question over and over of why God comes. Now, he goes on to say, it isn't so much what God does, but why does he do it? And I'm hoping through Advent this year, you and I are awake enough to be able to hear these different awesome things that God wants to do in our midst, and we are actually begin to be amazed by it. In other words, you and I can memorize these four things that God does, the Catechism said God does when he comes, but then we won't be shocked by it. Can we be shocked by the awesome things that God wants to do in our midst? And as Max Lucado says, absurd, absolutely absurd, how much God wants to do in our midst. Now, I understand that what I've been talking about is a little bit on the heady side, so let me kind of close with a little story. There was this woman, a mother with her child, and she was at the airport, and they were waiting for the husband to come off of the airplane. And the mother gives her child a little cup of orange juice and a cookie to kind of occupy her. All of a sudden, someone bumps into the mother, who then bumps into the child. And of course, the orange juice goes all over the place, and the cookie gets smashed in the little child's face. Now, the woman who's observing all of this, all of a sudden sees the husband get off the airplane. He's walking toward them, and he is dressed impeccably. Suit, tie, great white shirt on, briefcase. And as she's watching all this, she says, there's no way this guy is getting close to this kid that looks like this. And so he's going to go over and he's going to like peck his wife on the cheek, and he's going to go to the baggage claim right away and go get his bags. But he doesn't do that. He goes over and he grabs a hold of his child, smash, cookie, juice and all. It just holds this little one close to himself. And he starts speaking these loving things into the little child's ear. He doesn't just do it for a little bit. All the way to baggage, he's holding the child, talking to her, kissing her, combing her hair over and over, all these different things. And I want to submit to you that that's what God's like. And you know, our situation isn't spilled orange juice or a smashed cookie. Our situation is much, much more serious than all of that. That's the God of Father Delp. That's the God of Isaiah. That's the God of Mark in the gospel today. And you would think that God would cut us loose, but he hasn't. He's come to do awesome, awesome things in our midst. It's absolutely absurd. Absurdity in the flesh.